Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
The Cubby House is a show about two cub-identifying guys exploring the big and hairy issues in and around the bear community.
This program is designed for a mature audience. It may contain adult themes, sex and drug references, and of course, coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to the 27th of February. I'm Cookie.
And I'm Kevin.
And this is the Cubby House on the Monday night, starting at 10 o'clock. Thank you very much to Kiss My Arts for another wonderful show. It's been wonderful having you once again. Tonight, we've got a bit of a jam-packed show, and to do that, we've got in the wonderful, cuddly, and sexy Shane. Hello, how are you?
Very well, Cookie, and yourself?
Very well. Good.
Good evening, Kevin.
Good evening. I feel like I should be saying, sir. Good evening, sir.
Sir is fine.
In the Victorian way, as we've been saying. Tonight on the show, we've actually got some pretty solid topics to talk about. Kink Corner's not only going to get one segment, but two whole 8 minutes.
Why do I let you have such a wide berth?
Because we've got somebody who's going to come on and actually share his experiences. Someone who's been around the kink community longer than I have, believe it or not.
And then you've actually done an interview with Dr. George about one of his recent blogs about open relationships.
Yes, it sparked a bit of fire over the weekend, so we thought we'd discuss on how not to talk about open relationships in the blogs.
And then I actually have a quite in-depth discussion about polyamorous relationships and how they differ from open relationships.
And finally, towards the end of the show, you've got some little gizmos we're going to have a quick look at Get Your Geek On.
Not gizmos, but definitely some news that's making its way around the geek community.
All right. Now, we always have a discussion topic for tonight, and what is that one this week, Kevin?
Our discussion topic for tonight, because I really have this burning, you know, itch that to find out. How did you figure out what relationships boundaries... let's try that again, because I'm kind of not being able to speak tonight.
I'll just go get your crane for that.
Oh, shut up. All right, let's try that again. How did you figure out what relationships boundaries work or don't work for you? Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
Kevin, thank you for the music.
Thank you, Kevin.
I try my best.
Now, in the studio, if you haven't picked up that name and you didn't catch him a few moments ago, we have Shane here this week guest hosting with us, and we're going to be giving him the treatment, that is, the rapid-fire questions. Quick games, good game, mister. Shall we start with your age, please?
52.
Name one thing you miss most about being a kid.
Nothing.
Love it!
Do you have any hidden talents?
I do.
Care to name them?
No.
That's so not fair.
That's why they're hidden.
All right, what body part do you often get caught staring at?
Faces.
What's the last thing you bought?
An Apple MacBook Pro.
Oh, you're one of those people.
I am.
Quiet you. What is your current obsession?
Yaoi. Japanese animation, which is male male.
Which is the one you didn't want to talk about last week, Kevin.
Is it yaoi?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. Do you have any phobias?
No.
Okay.
Sexually, what melts your butter?
Kissing. Passionate kissing.
So you wake up in a prison cell. What's most likely the crime you've committed?
Mutilation.
Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's an interesting one. I like that one.
Yes.
All right. You're about to be sent to a deserted island and you can only carry 5 possessions. What would they be?
My iPad,
Mm-hmm.
My MacBook Pro.
I'm seeing a theme here.
Do you see the theme?
An apple tree?
An apple tree, absolutely. That'd be about it, actually. I wouldn't take anything else with me. I wouldn't need anything else.
No rope, no knives.
Am I going to tie myself up?
Well, no, but you might want to survive.
I will with my iPad.
Just send an SOS via the internet. And finally, have you answered any of these questions with a lie?
No.
Gives us the sly look there.
No, I think there was no lie. He was genuine. Well done. Right. See, you made it through. Well done.
I did. I can stop sweating now.
No, not yet.
Okay. No. So how did you get involved in the bear community?
I've been a bear since I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
I grew my first beard when I was 20, and I've had it on for 30-something years. I always identified as a bear and discovered the bear community in the 90s.
How did you actually discover the bear community?
In the, there used to be, I don't know, it's probably before your time, there used to be magazines called Campaign and Outrage. Campaign was first, so through those.
Okay. And given that you've been with it for almost 2 decades, I'm assuming, by now?
Yes.
Almost, the early 90s then. How have you found it specifically changed over those 20 years or so?
Ooh. I think it's evolved. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot more interest. So there's a lot more people interested in the bear community, and a lot more people are identifying as bear, even though they mightn't be hairy or bearded, but they still like that identification as a bear because bears are nice people. And so they're identifying that. So there's a lot more people interested in bears. The community's a lot more respected than it ever used to be. If you were a bear, you were derided as being just a fat, hairy bastard, basically. But now it's a lot more respected.
Okay.
And accepted.
Yeah, you don't have to be hairy.
You don't, no.
Does that mean I can go shave?
No, Cookie, you need all the hair you can get.
Oh, thanks.
Back crack and sack.
All right, so describe for us the first time you went to a gay bar.
Gosh, I was 19. And it was in Brisbane. I was living in Brisbane at that stage. And it was called The Terminus. And you had to go underground. And it was, there was no signage or anything. You just basically, you had to know it was there.
Sounds very clandestine.
It was. It was quite a scary experience going to the bar the first time because I went by myself. Because at that stage I wasn't out and didn't want anyone else to know. So going there by myself, and it was quite a culture shock from what I'd been used to in my other everyday life. It was very different.
And did you enjoy your first night out?
Yes.
Did you get lucky?
No, but it was just great to realize that there was other people that felt the same.
You weren't alone.
Exactly.
Aww. Well, thank you very much for letting us, probe your personal life.
It's been a long time since I've been probed.
Got to try something new every day.
Yes, and I think we might discuss that a little bit further on.
Nice segue.
Particularly because we've got Kink Corner coming up, talking about all things safety in BDSM here on the Cubby House. We have got Shane here as our guest host, ready to start the next segment of Be Careful What You're Wearing. You never know what you're asking for here on the Kink Corner. Yes, we've got a double Kink Corner for you this week. And I just want to make note, before we get into what we're going to talk about, we've created what we'd like to think is a new kink fetish for the Hanky Code. It's Eurovision fetish. If you're wearing it on the left, you're hosting a Eurovision party. If you're wearing it on the right, you're looking for a party, and it's a mirror ball, a keyring-sized mirror ball.
I'd like to note that Cookie created that. I'm totally innocent.
And yeah, me right. too. Not involved.
Let's see how long this one can float out. But Shane, we've got you on specifically, partially because you work at Eagle Leather, So I would hope to think you'd have some understanding and experience with safety when it comes to particularly BDSM and kink play. Would that be fair to say?
That would be fair to say, yes.
Fair to say. Now, are you otherwise involved with any other associations or groups that promote this sort of activity?
Yeah, I've just joined a couple of months ago a group called MAST, which is Masters and Slaves Together. They promote the MSDS relationships and all aspects of it. So when you go there, if you're a sub or a sir, master or ma'am, you're all equal, so everyone has an equal voice. So it's a good place for submissives that normally don't get to ask questions. And certainly it revolves around education. So it's educating people on how they should be treated as a submissive, so that they're not injured or anything like that. So they learn all the safety aspects and what they should be looking out for in a master or a sir or a ma'am.
All right, well, we'll talk a bit more specifically about people who may not be able to get to those events, but things that they can do on a personal level. But kink, as we have been exploring, takes on many forms, as we have looked at throughout, you know, the last 10 or 8 odd shows. There you go. We're up to... It's episode 9. See? I remembered. We're up to episode 8.
And look, next time you'll have to, you know, use some of your toes to count.
Yes, we're going to get that diaper on you soon, Kevin. I'm sure there's a fetish for that.
And our baby play. This is pretty cool.
Pass. No disrespect for people that are into that, but pass for me. But yes, we have been exploring kink over the last couple of episodes.
Yes, and they all require a level of understanding and, to most, some respect of the other people who you're participating with, depending on the activities that you're doing. Now, one of the binding elements to all these is knowledge of safety. And that's why particularly Shane's come in, who's going to help us explain the core basics to negotiating and acting in a safe manner, not only for yourself, but with other play partners.
Now, I'm not sure if you still do it, but I know one of the things that I used to love about Eagle Leather was that it had courses that you could go to be able to actually do different things, like fisting or bondage or anything like that. Do you still do those courses?
We still do them. Yep. Lately, we've been having some international presenters. We had a Asada Steve from Japan doing rope bondage, and it's so we've had, and then also I think it was last weekend, the weekend before, we had the international master and slave winners. So it was a lesbian couple, and they came and gave their experiences of their relationship as a master and slave.
What made you decide to offer these courses, or did you think there was a reason for those courses to be out there?
There is a reason. Education is really important, because there's a lot of people, especially, it's both submissive and masters. There's a lot of people that think, okay, I'm a master and I'll just go and beat people up. It's not right. There is, masters have to have skills like anyone. They know how to look after safely the person that they're playing with and make sure that they're, whatever being done to them is okay, that they're not fainting, they're not getting clammy, and all that sort of thing. So it's, as a master, you have to monitor the submissive constantly, and you never leave them. And same for the submissive, they have to, trust is a big thing, especially for the submissive, they have to trust that the master or sir that they're playing with is competent and knows what he's doing. So if you get this gut feeling, you think this guy really doesn't know what he's doing, then you stop the play, or don't even start the play.
So when you're coming into a situation where you found someone who you want to play with, what are some of the first things that you do as a bit of a checklist when you're discussing what you want to get into?
Well, what I do personally is I talk to the person. I've been playing with a guy recently, James, and what we did is I sat down, discussed what he wanted to do, what his fetishes were or what he wanted me to do to him. It's also I discussed his limits, so what levels he's at, so what level of pain he can either take or whether he likes things around his neck, and also what I find out is if they have any illnesses or sore parts at the moment. So you've got to find out the health of the person that you're playing with. As a top playing with a submissive, you've got to make sure that they're in good healthy condition, that they don't have heart problems or breathing problems or anything like that. So if they've got any illnesses or anything, you've got to find out.
So it's obviously very important to start with a lot of discussion, not just simply jump in and think that everything's going to be okay.
Absolutely. And a lot of people these days just want to get into it straight away. It's not the safest way to play. You've got to find out about both sides of the person. So sub and master, you've got to find out what they're into.
Now, we have got a bit of a discussion going on, and if you'd like to contribute to this discussion, we'd encourage it, and it is, how did you find out what relationship boundaries worked or didn't work for you?
Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse.
SMS 0427JOY949.
Email at onair@joy.org.au.
Or use the Joy 94.9 iPhone app to listen in and send in your feedback.
The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
Good, because I'm not a doctor.
You're not a doctor, no. You are a experienced player here with us on the Cubby House tonight. Thank you very much for continuing to stay with us, Shane.
My pleasure.
Now, one of the things that you've mentioned earlier is things like master and slaves. Now, I don't know, Kevin, I think you've had a bit of a bad experience or two.
I have, and in all fairness, it was via the internet, so, you know, I don't judge the entire community on this. It's pretty silly to judge the entire community on, you know, two or three interactions anyway, so. However, I do come across the same thing whenever it comes to kink websites and masters and things like that, where I'll send a message and go, hey, I'm interested in getting to know you. You look kind of hot. I'd like to see where it goes. And I've got this instant response from them saying, you know, you will call me master. Or, you know, just instantly going, you should respect my authority. And it's kind of like, hi. Like, let's have a bit of discussion here first.
Yes, I agree with you. I'd never call anyone sir or mistress or ma'am because they're not mine at that moment. And that's the same with the guys that you're talking to. They're not your sir or they're not your master until you decide that you want to enter into a contract or a relationship with them.
I mean, that's not something that you just jump into. You need to know the person and trust them a little bit. And to build trust, you've obviously got to know them.
See, I often get offended with, because if I go on some sites, instantly I get messages saying, hi, daddy. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not your daddy, and we're not in that sort of play role yet. So don't assume that I'm going to be your daddy. And that's what they're doing. They're assuming that you're going to play that role for them. Well, that's what I think anyway.
No, I think that's a fair assumption. Yes.
Well, because I look like a daddy.
Well, no, because they refer to you as daddy. Wow.
Yeah.
So, what are some of the things that you would suggest if you are going to be getting into a master-slave relationship or, you know, as a regular potential play partners as a master and slave? What are some of the things that, again, you would probably need to sit down and get to the understanding of before anything happens?
Well, as we discussed before, you certainly talk about your limits, and safe words are always used, and expectations are another thing. People go into these things expecting that they're just going to get all this pleasure and without telling the top that this is what they're expecting. So the top is supposed to immediately know that, oh, this is what he wants, this is what he wants. But unless you actually say, this is what I wouldn't mind having, the top's not going to know what you want.
And is the top allowed to go and do things that the slave not necessarily hasn't said but hasn't discussed? Like if they haven't discussed about flogging and the master, once they got the slave tied up, thought, oh, I'll just go, you know, give him a bit of flogging. Is that kosher, or is that an acceptable situation?
Well, not really. I mean, it just means that the master or sir hasn't ask the right question. So if I'm playing with someone, I want to find out exactly what they're into. I mightn't do it like if they give me a script of this is what I want done. I'm not going to do that because I'll do it when I want to, because I'm in control and not them.
That statement in itself, I don't necessarily think that there is an argument that the slave has ultimate control. Is that something you'd agree with?
No.
Why not?
Because with a slave, which is different to a submissive,
yes,
a slave is actually normally entered into a contract saying that they're giving total control over to the master. So the master has control over everything in their life. Mm-hmm. So the slave has given up any control that he might have. The master will sign the contract saying that he will take care of the slave. So, and the slave's well-being, mental and physical mm-hmm. well-being. So there is that in the contract saying that the master's not going to, you know, cut bits off or anything like that.
Well, this is obviously why it's so important to get to know the person before, you know, you just sign your responsibility away. I mean, absolutely. That discussion doesn't need to be cut and dried and boring over a cup of coffee. You could actually do that, you know, in the beginning of foreplay and actually make it a bit of, well, let me show you on my body what I like to do.
Well, generally, there's a training period, especially for a slave. There will be a training period. So you could start off with a training collar and then you work your way. So in that period of time, which is not overnight, it can be months or a year that you wear a training collar, you'll find out, the master will find out exactly what the slave can take. And certainly the master will try and push the limits, which is part of the training as well.
I mean, there's this concept of it's totally okay for anyone to freak out at any point. Is that why things like safe words and things are put into play? Because you don't know. Once you put in those extreme situations, anything could happen.
That's right. Fainting is often a problem. People had somebody bound up and they fainted. It's just that we got too much for them. So you have to know quickly to get them out of it and what to do once they fainted. It's also because SM play can be psychological as well. It often brings up things from people's past and they'll have a bit of a freak out on you. So you certainly just immediately stop the session and you do your sort of assist them in any way that you can possibly help them.
Last comment on that, it also sounds like it's a really good idea to go for a master who has some medical or first aid experience.
Some medical experience would be good. Certainly a CPR course would be recommended. I've done that. That's right. Basic first aid would certainly be good. It's also, as I said, you're constantly monitoring the person that you're playing with. So you're looking for signs that there's any sort of distress or unease or something like that. So you just have to sort of watch them very carefully and make sure that they're coping with what you're doing.
All right, thank you very much for that, Shane. You're going to hang around for the rest of the show, yes?
So I've been told.
Yes. Excellent. You're in the Cubby House, Joy 94.9, and we did get somebody previously in the last couple of hours on the phone. And this is our quick discussion with Dr. George about what you shouldn't do on blogging and open relationships. On the line, we have Dr. George Forgan-Smith, the writer of the Healthy Bear blog. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, in your writings, the Healthy Bear blog, last weekend, you have wrote quite an extensive piece on open relationships.
Absolutely.
And I believe there was quite a tirade of responses.
Well, I suppose it was more of a tsunami of responses. It was quite an interesting experience, actually, because what I wrote about was how a fellow blogger of mine, Simon, from Bearorama, had written about the emotions and psychology of open relationships and talked about some of the conflicts between people who are in closed relationships and people who are in open relationships and single people and their interaction with people who are in open relationships. And it was a really interesting findings.
Out of the little spark you made to this little fire piece here, what bonfire came out of it?
Well, I have to say that clearly there is a lot of passion in regards to this subject, and I think people, they're very passionate about the idea of respect and care for each other, that there's a group of people within the community who believe that those who are in open relationships can treat people like meat, like they're not individuals and things like that, and that can be very difficult to deal with. So it's really encompassed in this idea about respect and understanding, and that's also from an interpersonal level, but also on a, you know, a cultural and societal level, because there's been quite passionate argument about gay marriage and saying, well, how can we say we're going to have gay marriage if we're not going to act like we were married, in as much that, you know, the idea behind marriage is that it's exclusive to each other. Therefore, if we're not going to be exclusive to each other, should we really be getting married at all? My perspective has always been it's about the rights. It's about the equal representation under the law. But for many people, they've taken this to a level that's quite deep and quite passionate.
Okay. So I take it you're talking from a perspective of understanding yourself being in an open relationship.
Absolutely. And to be honest, you know, the response and talking to people over the weekend has actually been a learning experience for me. I've found out more about the idea of polyamory and also being open and honest. And to be honest, the main theme from this whole thing is about, it's about being open. It's about being honest, not only with your partners, but also with yourself. What do you want? What do you expect out of an encounter with somebody? And if you're going to treat somebody poorly, then you should expect, you know, to get a bit of a kickback from that. But if you're going to treat people well, then I think you should be able to gain the rewards from that as well.
Wonderful. Where would people find out a little bit more about this blog and read it for themselves?
Well, if you stop on over to thehealthybear.com, they'll be able to have a read of that. And, simple. If you can't find it, just do a Google search for The Healthy Bear, and you'll be able to find us. We're number one in Google.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Writer of The Healthy Bear blog, Dr. George Forgan-Smith.
Thanks, Cookie.
You're in the Cubby House on Joy 94.9, and after this next track, Kevin has his own discussion about his idea of relationships, particularly polyamory. Joy 94.9, you are with the Cubby House. Now, we do have a discussion topic for tonight, quickly. How do you figure out what relationship boundaries work or don't work for you?
Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
And Shane, you've happily joined us for the show.
Very.
Very, yes. It's no secret that I'm in an open relationship, but how would you define what you're in? Like, are you seeing somebody at the moment? Or?
At the moment, I'm having what I call casual play. So I mentioned James, which is a submissive that I play with. There's another couple that I play casually with, so I'm not dating or seeing them exclusively. So it wouldn't be described as an open relationship. It's just casual play at the moment.
Okay.
I certainly wouldn't mind a permanent slave.
Wouldn't we all?
Absolutely.
I have some dishes that need doing. I have a house that needs to be cleaned. I have books. No, I organise my own books.
Yes.
I alphabetize them. I'm very anally retentive about that.
Yes.
Wouldn't trust anyone else. But I also wanted to bring up the difference between polyamorous and open relationships. Now, I'm going to deal with a couple of definitions now. They're completely fluid. And a lot of the times you need to self-identify as these things. Simply because you fall under the definition of polyamorous or open relationship doesn't automatically mean you're part of the club. You have to, as I said, identify as being part of it. So open relationships usually refer to non-exclusive sexual relationships. This means that one or both of the partners in the relationship have sexual contact outside of the primary relationship. Polyamory, on the other hand, usually refers to the extension of a relationship by allowing bonds to form, whether they be sexual, kink-related, emotional, or otherwise. And this is as a long-term relationship, not something that's, you know, quick. And I commonly get ribbed at this because I don't like the term trade. So I get people saying that, oh, you're just into emotional trade. I'm like, okay, if that's what you want.
Right, right.
I don't see it as that, but all right. Now, one of the key differences between polyamory and open relationships is that poly relationships usually involve emotion as well as sex, versus the open relationship, which tends to revolve around purely physical sexual connections most of the time. For many, such relationships are usually built out of values of trust, loyalty, and negotiation of boundaries, with the understanding that relationships are fluid and change pretty much as the people that are in them.
So I suppose you need to keep communication open at all times, and if things change, then you change with them.
Communication is a big, big part of this. And one of the other keystones is the fact that at any point in time, you're allowed to freak out. And if you freak out, deal with it appropriately.
Not just in the bed, this, mind you.
As you not mentioned getting your fire. Freak on, but just freak out. Because, I mean, you never know what's going to hit you. I was in a polyamorous relationship, and he would bring other people in and sleep with them in our bed, and that was fine. But then one day the conversation came around that, you know, he wanted to have sex with someone on the stairs. And something about that visual just totally freaked me out. And I went nuts. I had to walk away and go and have a cigarette and calm down and come back and went, all right, so I've thought about this and I have no idea why I freaked out. But I mean, things happen. You can't plan for everything. And it's the understanding that if you freak out, deal with it appropriately. Don't blame the other person. Just be mature about it and work towards something that is, you know, works for both of you. It's also about overcoming things like jealousy, possessiveness, and the rejection of restrictive cultural standards, which are some of the big things that we come up against when I say I'm in an open or polyamorous relationship.
So the expectation that you should be monogamous or not in a relationship at all, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, cultural understanding is that I should be married to a woman with a white picket fence, or, you know, it's American understanding. But anyway.
The nuclear family, yes.
Yeah, I don't, you know, sleep with the same gender that everyone tells me to or thinks I should be. So why would I sleep with the same number of sexual partners as everyone else tells me I should?
There is a set number?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently one.
Oh, okay. I've overtaken that one. Well, enjoy it.
No bragging, Cookie. But yes, a lot of the times people say that, you know, jealousy. I'm too jealous to be in an open relationship. Or, you know, I'm too possessive. I don't want my man sleeping with someone else. If that's what you want, monogamy isn't really a solution for jealousy. If you're in a monogamous relationship, you're still going to have those feelings of jealousy, and you might actually want to sort them out instead of ignoring them.
Yeah. Because I...
Sure. Oh, we got a question.
Ooh, sorry, no, I was just going to say, the jealousy thing... in a poly relationship would freak me out. Having to share someone, I'm very possessive, so I don't share. I don't share with others. Exactly.
So well, that's
right.
A lot of the times it comes down to this concept of there is no such thing as a limited amount of love. And once again, one of my favorite books, The Ethical Slut, talks about this a lot. There is no such thing as a limited amount of love. I can love as much as I could possibly can. There's not, you know, if I love one person, I love another person less. It doesn't work that way. For me, it doesn't work that way. But there is such a thing as limited time. So I need to schedule, and you should see my calendar. It is a work of art.
Yeah.
I have everything down to a fine point, even though I'm late for everything.
There's like 256 calendars used for everything.
Yeah, I have to. I even got one for my housemate. But essentially, you schedule your time right, and you talk to the different partners you're in, and you talk to, you know, the kink relationships you're in or whatever, and you work out a compromise, and you work out what works for everyone. Go.
So you don't live in a communal house, obviously not, but would you be able to live in a communal house where there's all partners concerned in the poly family are living in one house?
I would love that. That would probably be my dream. But there's always this catch where everyone thinks that just because you work really well in a relationship and you've got the relationship hat on and everything's fine, that when you put that housemate hat on, that everything's going to be great. It's not. A housemate comes with different roles, different responsibilities than the boyfriend hat.
Yes.
And you've really got to realize that that is a different bond. And when you add a third or a fourth or a fifth partner, depending on how deep the emotional, sexual, physical kink level is, you've got to take time out and work on those bonds. You don't just automatically assume, yep, everything will be fine.
So when you were talking about your boundaries, so you get together with all partners concerned and discuss what boundaries you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've never actually had a group session yet. Again, I would love to be able to invite my multiple partners around and have a big D&M group session, or big love pile, as I would like to call it. But a lot of the times it's one-on-one communication. And it also then comes down to respecting the hierarchy in relationships. A lot of people introduce hierarchy. So you've got the prime partnership or the prime triad or, you know, the square, whatever works for you. You put a hierarchy on so that, again, you afford that person the respect and everyone knows where they stand. I'm assuming it would be very similar in kink situations.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Is there one person that sort of takes control? Because in kink you have leather families, right? And which is one sort of sir with a couple of subs, and even that sir can have a sir as well.
I was wondering about, you know, we talk about families, but yeah, specifics to leather would be just a leather family, wouldn't it?
Leather family, yes. Which basically are polyamorous groups. So a sir can have two or three subs, and even those subs can have a sub. So you have an alpha sub, and then that alpha sub is training subs underneath. And as I said, a sir can have a sir as well.
And I'm assuming even in those relationships, there's not not always one person that is the dominant person. Sometimes it might depend on the situation. It probably more applies to polyamorous relationships. For instance, if there were kids involved, if there was a married couple that, you know, happened to have a third or a fourth partner and they had kids and they were all raising the kids, when it came to kids situations, the parents would have, you know, prime control. Not assuming it's going to, but it's one way they could work. So I think there's not one person that would control it, but there would be a fluid passing of responsibility.
Hmm. Well, just something I'd like to do later on in some of the show is work out, you know, different definitions as to how people consider, like you mentioned earlier, Kevin, that pagan groups consider those couplings tribes.
Tribes is one of the terms that is used commonly in pagan scenes.
I'd like to see what some other terms come out of this. However, that will be for another show. You're on the Cubby House on Joy 94.9, the other sex show on this station.
We are so going to get into trouble for that.
Oh, I know. We keep saying that, and we don't, so I'll just keep saying it until we do. Now, we have been asking the question, how did you figure out what relationship boundaries work or don't work for you, as our question for the night?
We've had some pretty good responses. Matt is honest and says he's still figuring it out.
That's nice to hear.
Dean also says, by talking, then trying, then talking again, which so many people don't bother to do, and unfortunately that is true.
Yes, and Simon from Canberra has said, trial and error, and conversation, and honesty, and all those things are very important things.
They are. Thank you, Simon.
Thank you. Now, we do have a question, particularly for our guest host, who's been gracious enough to stick with us after running straight from closing his shop.
Yes.
Thank you very much for sticking around.
Bum, bum, bum.
What is your one most important piece of sex advice for anybody listening tonight?
Sex advice.
Yes, sex advice, generally speaking.
I think it'd have to be trust and honesty. There's two. If you don't trust the person you're with and you're not honest with the person you're with, then the sex is not going to be good. That's all I can think of.
Those are very, very wise words.
They are indeed. They are indeed. Now, you spoke earlier in the show about MAST, which is Master and Slaves Together.
Yep.
Now, quickly, can you just explain what you said to us off air about Melbourne in specifics?
MAST International is an American group, and the MAST Melbourne is the first chapter outside of the United States. There is one in Canada, so I'm assuming they're included in the United States. But MAST Melbourne formed 6 or 7 months ago, and as I said, it's the first chapter outside the United States, so it's quite a coup for us here in Melbourne, especially because the scene, probably a scene in Melbourne, is a bit stronger than in most places.
Sorry, I think Canada is technically part of the United States, but, you know, they probably went North America. Same thing. Yeah. Americans don't look at maps anyway.
No, it's all the world anyway. Yeah. America.
Yeah, it's kind of like I there was a funny point that someone said, what's Australia, when pointed at a map?
Well, technically when I moved over here, you know, eons ago.
From
South Africa.
Right.
I actually had to look up a map because I had no idea where Australia was. I kind of knew this general vague idea of where it was, but I actually had to look it up, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, if you'd like to poke more fun at Kevin for not knowing where Australia was in his younger years, you can check us out on Facebook. That is facebook.com/thecubbyhouse.
While you're there, like the page and feel free to jump in on any of the discussions that are there. We have quite a couple going through the week.
We do indeed. And we also have the email if you'd like to perhaps post a suggestion, a funny photo, or just a dig at us. You can contact us at contact@thecubbyhouse.net.au. And there's also our blog, which is in desperate need of updating. You may slap me later.
I will. Actually, no, I'll get Shane to.
Oh, you've probably got some floggers that I haven't seen yet.
You mean that you don't have in your extensive collection?
Collection as it may be, I don't necessarily subscribe to those types of instruments. Thank you.
You're more insertive?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Yes.
Our website is thecubbyhouse.net.au. Thank you very much for listening this week. We hope that you catch us next week at Monday, 10 p.m.
Monday. Want to try that again?
Monday, 10 p.m., same time, same place. I'm Cookie.
And I'm Kevin.
And thank you very much, Shane, once again.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is The Cubby House. Stay tuned for Fluoro right after this.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.